society just tells you you can't be healthy again until you're not breastfeeding anymore, or you can't improve your health when you're pregnant. And I strongly disagree with that. I'm going to talk about pregnancy, postpartum seasons, what's moved the needle for me, and what actually helped me lose the weight postpartum. I just think sometimes we make weight loss so overcomplicated. You can heal, you can support your body during pregnancy and postpartum. Your health doesn't just dwindle away because your body's working really hard. It's just having the habits in place to manage the stress. Weight is not the only thing that matters. I just cared about how can I show up today for myself and for my family and do the work that I love to do. And now I've lost 55 pounds. If you are someone that is like, I don't recognize myself postpartum, it's incredibly important to welcome to the Hormone Healing RD podcast, where you'll get clear, practical guidance for your healing journey. I'm Amanda Montalvo, women's health dietitian and mineral expert. After helping thousands of women in navigating my own healing, I know how overwhelming the wellness world can be. This show cuts through the noise with simple, research-backed insights on hormones, minerals, and what your body truly needs to heal. So let's dive in and take one intentional step forward together. This week, I am talking about my weight loss journey postpartum through motherhood. You know, when you have multiple postpartums, like what do you call it? I feel like ever since I had my first baby, I'm just going to be postpartum for the rest of my life. Is there an endpoint? I don't know. But this is something, if you listen to my episodes, I pretty much never talk about weight loss. I wanted to say I don't care about it, but it's not that it's just that I look at weight. It truly is just a number. And I always keep it in context to the rest of my health. So for me, I don't have like a ton of feelings attached to my weight. I used to, but I just spent so many of my younger years obsessing over what I looked like, what I ate, my body. I just cannot do it. I cannot put another ounce of my energy towards it. I'm honestly so happy that I came to that place probably like 8 to 10 years ago, truthfully. Thank God, because it was a huge part of my burnout. And so that's something where I'm like, I just don't like to touch it with a 10-foot pole. Typically, the topic, even though I don't think it's bad to want to lose weight or anything like that, I just think it often comes with so much obsession. And it can be hard when you're in that position of like, whether you really want to, or maybe you feel like you really need to. Like, you're like, we've had so many clients we worked with that are just continuously gaining weight. They're like, I'm not overeating. I'm eating less, working out more. Why is this happening? So I know that it can be painful and I don't want to dismiss that. I'm just keeping this in context to my like postpartum journey and like my body changes and stuff as having kids. And then also my health history where like I didn't have a good relationship for a long time. So like, I don't like to obsess over it. It's just not like my main focus. And I look at it again, like a symptom. So my weight doesn't tell me my worth or my health. It really tells me pretty much just, am I gaining weight or am I losing weight? And then I have to put that in context to everything else that I'm looking at with my health right now. So for example, if I start to gain weight, then it's like, okay, why am I super stressed? Am I eating enough? Am I eating too much? That sort of thing. It's not like an immediate bad, oh my gosh, this has to stop right now sort of thing. I don't panic. And then if I'm losing weight, I don't automatically look at that as a good thing. It's not just good or bad. It's like you have to keep it in context to everything else. Weight gain or loss is a symptom of all the other areas of your health, your nutrition, and your lifestyle. So that's how I look at it. That's how I'm going to be talking about it. And I'm really just sharing because the amount of people that have asked me, what did you do to lose weight postpartum? And you look amazing. What workout program do you do? What do you eat? And this is like women online, women in real life, lots of clients, friends, family members, things like that. And I'm like, man, I guess I did lose a lot of weight. I lost like 55 pounds. Again, I'm just like, can't test over. I can't be there. I'm just over here trying to be strong, healthy, and have high energy so I can be the kind of mom I want to be, the kind of wife I want to be, and show up for our clients and the women in my course. Like that's, and in this community, like that's what I'm here for. And I understand if someone else is not there and I don't think it's like bad. It's just like, this is what works for me and makes it so that I have the least amount of stress around it. I've become very detached from it. And I'm like, that's really cool. It's really nice. So that's the only reason why I'm recording this episode, because I'm like, I think I could talk about this from a very grounded place and then hopefully extend that out to anyone that wants to receive it. And maybe they can apply some of that to themselves in their situation, especially if you find yourself obsessing over your weight and stuff postpartum, it can be really helpful. So I'm going to go through that. I am going to talk numbers. I mean, I did just say 55 pounds, so probably should have put that disclaimer sooner, but I will say numbers just to give like context and stuff. Again, if that's going to like trigger you, maybe you don't want to listen to this episode. This is more just like how my body and things shifted over time through my two pregnancies, what I did differently with them, and what actually helped me lose the weight postpartum, especially after my second one. My first daughter, spoiler alert, didn't really care about the weight piece. And then the second time around, I just learned so much from the first time that I was like, I want to feel better this time and I have a lot less stress. So what am I going to do differently? So I'm going to talk about pregnancy, postpartum seasons, what has actually worked, what's moved the needle for me. And yeah, hopefully you find this helpful and you can take little nuggets of what I share and apply them to you. So the kind of like biggest thing I want to note before I get into like pregnancy stuff is that my first pregnancy, like I call this like my soft era, I didn't care. I could not have cared less about weight gain. And it took us a few years to conceive our first daughter. We really struggled and that plays a huge role in that. So I just think like that's the other thing is like, if you just had a baby or you have like, depending on how many kids you have, it's also going to change weight loss in the season of life and stuff that you're in. So that first time around, while I wanted to be mindful and take care of my body, nourish my body, of course, I wanted to feel good and be healthy and have a healthy baby. I did not care about the scale. I didn't even weigh myself. I didn't really the second time either. My midwife had to like beg me to, because I did a home birth for both. So it was just like, can you please weigh yourself so I at least have some information? And realistically, you know, it didn't really matter because I'm like, what else we can do with that information? Because I was healthy otherwise. But overall, I had a very like not worried about it mindset going in. I know that's not the case for everyone, but struggling with your fertility can definitely do that for you. So that was really the time where like entering that time, I was really trying to reduce my stress, work on my mindset. When we were struggling to conceive and kind of like let go of so much control. And I do think that that is very helpful when it comes to how you view your body and the shifts and changes that are going on. So I was just so focused on enjoying this experience. I did not stress about those other things. And it's funny, you know, your first pregnancy typically you don't show as early. Like it's just completely different from any other, my second pregnancy for sure. But that first trimester, I entered pregnancy healthy. I could not have been stronger going in. I was like back squatting 225 pounds. I tried to get as fit as I could so I could be strong and maintain that strength. And I felt really good. And I didn't know how much I weighed until my midwife asked me to. So I'm like 165 going in. That's very healthy for me. I'm 5'2". I'm little, but I'm definitely like a little muscly, kind of like meatball type body type, I guess. Always been curvier for sure. And so I was healthy going in. It's funny looking back. I'm like, what did I do for workouts? I did Mama Stay Fit training. So it's like 4 days a week. It took like an hour to like a little over an hour, which I laugh at now. Cause I'm like, if something were to take me that long now, I'd never do it with two kids. So I'm happy I took advantage of it then. But I was very consistent with training. I nourished my body well. Looking at my labs was also very interesting. I'm like comparing the two because your weight is, again, it's just one piece of the puzzle. It just like, I may have been lighter. Like I was smaller going into my first pregnancy than my second, which I'll get into, but my labs were so much better going into my second pregnancy. Again, your weight is not everything. And so like my hair test looked pretty good. My thyroid was needing a little bit of support. I was doing iodine and stuff like that. That's part of what helped me conceive. But my midwife was a little bit like, okay, we may have to take medication if this doesn't get better, but it did. So overall, my labs looked pretty good, but I did have like an eczema flare during that pregnancy, showing my immune system and gut health weren't phenomenal. But that's really common because like your immune system obviously shifts when you're pregnant. And I had never been pregnant before. And so all of it was new for my body, the level of hormones, the immune shifts. So it is common to see. I don't necessarily think it's like a bad thing to have some symptoms pop up that first time around. And I stayed very active and everything. I ended up gaining 50 pounds, which is so funny because that's like what most or 50. Yeah, I didn't weigh myself towards the end. The last time I weighed myself, I was like 205. And I was like, I'm good knowing this. And that was probably like a week before I gave birth. So, and most women I talk to their first pregnancy, they gain more weight as well, which can be like a real, you know, mince with your head type deal. But I was like, I wasn't worried about it. I felt good. And I think that knowing so many other women that were healthy that also gained a similar amount of weight was helpful for me. And I just was like, I'm not going to worry about it. Like, my body gained what it needed to gain. I was healthy going into this. And I've had a good pregnancy throughout. So that was really interesting. And then postpartum, I was like very quickly, like, you know, you lose a bunch of weight because you're just like the baby, placenta. Obviously, there's some blood fluid loss there. And my main focus was my milk supply, of course. I'm like, all I care about is breastfeeding, making sure I'm making enough milk. And I was just so obsessed with Eliana. Oh my gosh. It's so funny because I remember my husband deployed like soon after she was born, and I went to Rhode Island to see my parents. They were like, they had a camper there. So I go to visit them. My mom's like, I just can't believe how much you love being a mom. And I'm like, what? Who says that? She was like, no, you're just like every little thing, like every diaper change, every bath, every like time you nurse her. Like, she's like, I didn't know you were going to love every single aspect of it so much. I'm like, I didn't either. You know, it's crazy. And I really, truly was so in love with it. You know, that trend on Instagram, well, this is going to come out later, but as recording this, I've seen so many like, you look happier now, trend on Instagram. And then you go into like why you look happier. And it's like that, if that was around when I had Eliana, like that is, I would fit that to a T, because it was just like, becoming a mom just completely lit me up. I couldn't have loved it more. And I was like, wow, this is like why I'm here. And so that was awesome. I think that just like being really happy, I had a 4-month maternity leave that I created for myself, which was, thank God, because then I ended up not getting a nanny or doing childcare. So I had to figure that out. But overall, my main focus was on supporting milk supply, breastfeeding. And I was also pumping for one of my friend's babies. So that was a little bit of a layer of stress, I will say. But because of all those things, I didn't even think about weight loss. For me personally, I didn't even have like the capacity to think about it until like probably like 9 months postpartum. I was like, oh, I feel like kind of normal again. And I feel like I could kind of pay attention to this. But before then, I was just like, I didn't have the capacity to even think about it. So I just didn't worry about it. And I was just like nursing on demand, pumping for this other baby. I mean, I didn't want to do anything that could have impacted that. And I knew that the pumping on top of nursing was stressful for my body, but I was also incredibly grateful that I could do that and provide that nourishment for another baby. So again, I was like, nope, not my time to like really worry about this or even really think about it right now. And I talked to so many women where like they hit that 9-month mark and they're like, yeah, something kind of changes. And that was like the first time that I was like, oh, I'm going to weigh myself. And I was like 190. And I'm like, okay. So I lost like some of the, a little bit of what I was when I was pregnant, but I was still definitely, my body had changed a lot. That was like really sank in. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm like, this is it now. This is what we're working with. I was still very consistent with training after. It is really important for my mental health personally to work out, move my body. I'm also just grateful that I can do those things. I do have some people in my life that can't do that stuff. So it's like, I just feel extra grateful. Like, okay, I'm going to use my body. I've got it. It works. And then of course, wanting to be healthy, mentally showing up well for my daughter. My husband was deployed pretty much constantly in her first year of life. And so I'm like, I have to manage my stress well and figure this out. And so that really helped keep me sane. But it was kind of just like, you know, just being consistent, eating enough. I didn't really change much of my nutrition, like before, during, and after pregnancy. It just like, I had to just make sure I always ate enough, hydrated well, adrenal cocktails, adding like, I love the concentrates minerals. I add that to my water, sea salt, so that I was always absorbing everything and staying hydrated. And then I got to the point where I was like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to see if I can dabble with like decreasing my calorie intake a little bit. Spoiler, I don't track my food. You couldn't pay me to track my food. Literally couldn't do it. I come from that world of like obsessing over every single thing I put in my mouth. And it's also like, when you were, I mean, I'm a dietitian, so it's like literally my job to understand the nutrition density of food. And so that also makes it so that, and I tracked for so long, I don't really have to track my food to know what I'm putting in my body. And I think it, for me, it would just add another layer of energy that I don't want to give somewhere else. Definitely not to that. And I personally just like to experiment and see how my body reacts. And I don't like obsess over numbers and stuff. Again, I know how to feed myself. I know how to make sure I'm eating enough. So like for me, I was like, all right, I'm just going to like switch things up a little bit, reduce my calories slightly. And I did a little less snacking basically. And just, I made my meals a little bit bigger, a little less snacking. And I did lose like about 5 pounds. And then I got pregnant with my second daughter. And I was like, okay, but I felt really good. I was like, not really caring about the weight, more caring about like, am I putting on muscle again? I maintained a decent amount of my muscle in pregnancy, but I was like, I have got to put on more muscle again. That's when I feel the best. And so I really was focusing on that. Did lose a little bit of weight, a little bit of body fat mostly, but definitely put on some muscle, which I'm very happy about before getting pregnant again. And for context, we were not like planning. It took us almost 3 years to get pregnant with our first daughter. So my husband was deploying soon and we decided it was Father's Day in June. And we were like, you know, I think we're ready for another one. We definitely want to have another baby. Let's start trying now since last time it took so long. And that next cycle, we got pregnant. And I know that can suck to hear, but it took us a long time for the first. So I was like, we kind of deserve the second one being easy. But then he left and was gone for like 4 months and during the first trimester. So, you know, so that really like shifted things for me. But I was already in this place where I'm like switching up my food a little bit, working on gaining muscle. I got really, really, really focused on circadian rhythm. And I know you guys have heard me. I did that episode with Carrie Bennett. I talk about it a lot. I am truly obsessed with optimizing our light exposure, getting that morning light in the morning, blocking blue light at night when it's dark. I don't think you have to have it be any more complicated than that. Obviously, the more time you spend outside, the better. But if you do those two things, it will help support your circadian rhythm, your minerals, your hormones, and your thyroid. And again, my thyroid that first time around was not, it wasn't bad. It was the best my thyroid had been. My whole health history like started with like getting that hypothyroid diagnosis after I got off the pill. And so for me, my thyroid was in the best shape it had been in for my first pregnancy. But then during that postpartum season, and I really dialed in my light exposure, started getting so deep into circadian rhythm research and practicing that a ton. I also was like, I'm eating well, so I don't want to necessarily eat less because I'm still nursing and I was pumping for that baby. And I was like, can I optimize my blood sugar and insulin sensitivity through my light exposure? And for me, that made such a big difference. I will never stop talking about it. Like my thyroid was the best it's ever looked throughout my whole pregnancy. It didn't waver once. And I was so on top of that whole time. And I really truly, like my whole body just like continued to change. And I think a lot of it had to do with, I not only made a couple tweaks to my nutrition of just like eating bigger meals, which is how I prefer. I just like to eat big meals. I prefer to do that. And then I felt like I like had to eat more because I was breastfeeding. And I'm like, it's just this kind of like trap because then you're like, I just need to eat bigger meals so I'm not hungry all the time. And then that helps support your insulin sensitivity, your blood sugar balance. And that's really good for a hormone called leptin. And what I think happens to a lot of women when they're in that postpartum season, when they're nursing, and like sometimes you don't know how to fuel yourself properly. Or you're so burnt out that you're having a hard time making nourishing meals, having all that stuff available to you. And so you just end up kind of snacking all day. And that puts you on a blood sugar roller coaster that also is not great for leptin signaling. And leptin is a hormone that tells your brain how much energy you have stored on it. Like it'll say, hey, Amanda's got this much energy stored. This is what her metabolism should be, how much we should be burning. This is what her hunger should be, her appetite. And so I think that gets very dysregulated. One, during pregnancy, leptin levels increase. The placenta makes leptin. It's very important. It's not a bad hormone. I think what happens is then you have like stress postpartum. Maybe you don't have the best eating habits or support in place. You have, you know, different things can happen. And that can lead to worsening of insulin resistance. I also was like, my daughter was so chunky, guys. Like, if you saw a picture, she was so chunky. And she nursed all the time. And I was pumping like 6 times a day. And I don't think that helped. I think my body was like trying to conserve energy because of the demand on it as well. And so when I stopped pumping for that baby, I mean, he got a lot of milk. So it was fine. But I decided to stop. I was like, I got to give my body a break. Thank God, because then we got pregnant. But that also did make a difference, where I think that made it easier for myself to start leaning out a little bit. Even though it was only 5 pounds, like I looked significantly different, and I felt better going into that pregnancy, even though I was still like, you know, 185, 190. I was like, okay, like this is a little bit heavier than the last one. And then it's just this whole conversation with your provider then. And my midwife was absolutely amazing, but she was still like, your BMI is really high, you know? So, and I hope I don't get any mean comments online, but it shouldn't matter. But she knew me. She's like, you're very muscular, you're athletic. Like, I'm not worried. And then that second pregnancy, I just kept eating that same way. I didn't eat in a deficit because I was definitely hungry, and I had way less nausea in the first trimester. I could definitely like maintain my appetite more. And when I was more nauseous, I would spend more time outside, and it made it so much better, which was like the opposite the first time around, which was interesting. And I was chasing a toddler. Like, she was like, what, 15 months, not even, when I got pregnant. So it was a lot. And my husband was deployed most of that time. So crazy time, definitely more stress. But I was like, I'm going to choose to take care of myself in this way and really trust my body. That was the other big difference. I mean, I worked on that a lot the first time around because it took us so long to conceive. Like, I just had, I had a lot of fear. And I worked in that space where, like, you know, I'd had a lot of clients that had many miscarriages. Luckily, we had never experienced one. But when you work in that space, it's kind of hard not to stress. You just know too much. And so this time around, I was like, I've done this before. My body's done this before. I really trusted my body, and just seeing that change in like my minerals, my thyroid function, even though I like was pregnant and then I was breastfeeding for so long and pumping for another baby. And I just feel like society just tells you that like you can't be healthy again until you're not breastfeeding anymore, or you can't improve your health when you're pregnant. And I just like so strongly disagree with that, especially seeing my health like really transform during that second pregnancy. And I think other than like the, you know, nutrition lifestyle changes I made, when I really learned, I was like learning, really digging into leptin, because I'm like, I think this is why I had such a hard time like making progress and like seeing any change in my body postpartum the first year after I had Eliana. And so I was like working on light exposure. I was working on eating mostly when it was light out. Like when I was pregnant, I felt like I had to eat a bedtime snack because it's like, what if I wake up at night? But then I'm like, I really don't, because I eat like at least 1,000 calories at breakfast. I'm like, breakfast is my meal. So I was still eating plenty of food, but I was eating much larger meals so that I didn't need to eat later in the day, like at night before bed. And I felt much better. So I was just kind of leaning more into these like principle, like circadian rhythm principles, and getting off of the like, you're nursing, so you need to snack and stuff like that. And that made a huge difference for my body composition. And just like, I still gained weight in my second pregnancy, but it was so much less. And I looked different. Like, it looked like I was like leaning out at the same time. It was weird. But I think it was, I was still training hard. The other difference I made, the change I made was the first time I mostly did like barbell type strength training, dumbbell, that sort of thing. And then my friend Adina Rubin, who I've had the podcast before, she has a kettlebell program. And it was just me and Eliana for the most part. And I was like, I need something that I can do fast. And then it's like 3 days a week, like something that it can be so effective that I don't have to do it too much, so that I could be consistent with it during pregnancy and just solo parenting so much. So I switched to kettlebell training. That's her program. She does like pregnancy, postpartum, you know, outside of those times, pretty much all our clients use Adina, but she has great programming. It's 3 full body days, all kettlebell. I didn't have a lot of kettlebells at the time. I only have like two more than I did, but you don't need that many. I did have dumbbells. And so I used kettlebells and dumbbells. I did that training 3 days a week, full body. And I did a little bit of Pilates at home. And just, I like Pilates. And I know it's very trendy right now, but I've liked Pilates for like 15 years before it was cool. I appreciated the core aspect of it. And I know there's a lot of controversy with core stuff in pregnancy, but I avoided so many things the first time around that I don't think was helpful. Like I avoided too much. And then the second time around, I did all kettlebell stuff, dumbbell, and a little bit of Pilates pregnancy prenatal safe core work. And my goodness, it made such a big difference for me. And I was working out less. I was less stressed about trying to fit things in with a little, like a toddler. And kettlebells just, I don't know, my body loves them. I don't know what it is. But I recently had a few women from my Instagram, my broadcast channel community, they started a kettlebell program too. And they're like, man, I lost 5 pounds without changing anything. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's this combination of like strength training. And it's like, you are kind of like cardio, but not really, like depends on what you're doing. But it's just this like functional explosive movement. And if you have a good program, it doesn't bring you out. So I think I'm like obsessed with kettlebells now. I'm getting a kettlebell certification, like a coaching training that I'm starting in October, probably after this episode comes out, but soon after. And I'll definitely talk about that more on the podcast. But that is like the other big shift I made. So like circadian rhythm support, switching up my meals, not feeling like I had to constantly eat snacks and a bedtime snack, and then adding in kettlebell training instead of like feeling like I had to do this 4 days a week, very specific prenatal program. Now, the kettlebell program was prenatal, but it was just like, it was great. I couldn't have asked for more. I was also still nursing during my pregnancy. My milk dropped so much. And I know every woman is different. That was so traumatic. I was not mentally prepared for that. So that is something that was very hard for me. But so I was like really making sure I was eating enough. And this is kind of where, hopefully this isn't too all over the place. This is kind of where my other nutrition switch was made. Because obviously I'm like, they're like, there's nothing you can do if you're pregnant to improve your milk supply, which I know is true in some aspect. But I know quite a few IBCLCs, and I made an appointment with one of them, and I was like, I know that you're probably going to tell me that there's not much I can do, but is there anything I could do to support my milk supply while I'm pregnant? And she's like, well, you know, the demand's got to be there. I'm like, the demand is there. Eliana still wants dinners all the time. But she gets so upset because they're like, you know, she's used to getting a ton of milk. I always had a huge supply. And now all of a sudden it's like, it was probably like half. And she was like, well, we can experiment with your nutrition. And she's like, I know you don't like low carb, because she knows me. She's like, but I have seen higher protein and fat and low-ish carb help with supply in general because of how it helps with insulin resistance. And when the further along you get in pregnancy, the more insulin resistant you become. It's a natural part of it. It's not like a bad thing. And so I was like, and she's like, it's inevitable, basically. Like your supply typically will continue to decrease. Some women it doesn't, but mine it definitely did. And she's like, but you could at least try this in the meantime. And so I definitely didn't go low carb, because like my version of low carb is like 150 grams of carbs a day. It's like at least 150 grams. So I definitely didn't go low carb, but I did switch because I still wanted to get enough carbs around my workouts and like recovery and stuff. And so I timed them more like before and after my training when I would do the workouts, which some days did not work, because some days I would try to work out and Eliana wouldn't be having it and I'd work out later. So it didn't always work. Definitely wasn't perfect with it, but I did like increase my fat intake substantially. I was already eating plenty of protein and adjusted my carbs a bit. And I also think I was like eating more when I increased my fat, which probably helped too, just calories in general. And that did help. I kept that same milk supply. I was like, she's like, with the pattern she had seen, she's like, it's probably going to continue to decrease, but I was able to keep it. And it got a little bit better. And I do think there was some insulin resistance there, obviously, because I was like, I don't know what, 25 pounds heavier postpartum than I was before pregnancy. So, and again, it doesn't really matter. It's like I had a healthy baby, healthy milk supply, gave milk to another baby. I felt good and my labs were phenomenal. So that's what truly matters. But it's just interesting seeing that shift of like, hey, let's consider this. also that I feel like that emphasis on insulin sensitivity was never really given to me my first time around postpartum, probably because I didn't have any supply issues, to be completely honest. So that like really stuck with me. And I was like, I'm going to remember this for next time. Cause I was like, I was nursing and pumping so much that like the demand was just there. And this time around, I was not going to pump milk for another baby. I didn't have to the first time, but I didn't have the opportunity to do it the second time. And I was like, two kids, definitely not doing that. So I was also just curious to see, I wonder what my milk supply is going to be like when I'm not constantly pumping and nursing a baby. It's probably going to be different. And I'm really happy that I had that information in my back pocket because I did end up using it during that postpartum season. So overall, second pregnancy, I kept all those principles going. I gained a healthy amount of weight. I actually gained what you're supposed to gain for my BMI, based on like all the information that you typically get from your provider. It ended up being about 20, 25 pounds the second time. And so I think I was around like 210 when I gave birth. Again, who knows? Like towards the end, I'm just like, I just can't think about it. I'm big and I'm ready to burst. But it felt like a completely different weight gain. I didn't have any fluid retention. And I had a little bit towards the end the first time around. Oh, and I had, oh my gosh, I had really bad, that numbness in your hands. Had to look it up quick because it was driving me crazy. Carpal tunnel, duh. It's like that pregnancy carpal tunnel that you can get when typically it's when you do have a little bit more fluid retention. I researched it so much during my first pregnancy when basically the information, there's not a ton out there, but some of the information I gathered talks about excess estrogen and how that can lead to an increased risk for that and just inflammation in general. And I had none of that the second time around, which is very interesting. Because I did definitely like end up gaining more weight. Like I was a higher weight by the end of my second pregnancy, if that makes sense. But I gained less because I entered that pregnancy heavier. So again, weight is not the only thing that matters. I entered the pregnancy heavier, healthier, ended it heavier, but gained less weight overall and had way less symptoms. Also, it was definitely my second pregnancy that I do think that can make a difference because I was sharing about this online. This woman, like, you're not going to give any of this to the fact that it's like your second pregnancy and doesn't have as big of an impact on your body. I'm like, I think some things are easier the second time around. Like you just know what to expect more. Your body has seen those hormones before, but I definitely unlocked a lot of histamine issues in my first pregnancy with like the eczema and everything. And then postpartum, I was having all these histamine symptoms. And I'm like, oh, I just like could feel for all my clients that have dealt with that stuff. I'm like, I am a histamine right now. And I ended up doing a gut protocol. And I think that that played a huge role in conceiving my second daughter so quickly because I did a lot of work on my immune system, my gut microbiome, which also has a really big impact on your hormones, your thyroid function, things like that. So it wasn't anything intense because I was nursing, but I still did a lot of work to reduce my histamine levels. And that can also increase nausea, reflux, like so many symptoms in pregnancy and it increases your risk of loss. So of course, you know all the things. I'm like, I'm going to take action on this stuff. I know it. And I do think that made a difference for some of the symptoms second time around too. Is because it's like, even though I had been pregnant before, your histamine issues don't just go away. And definitely not when you're pregnant. They usually get more pronounced when you're pregnant. So that was like another big shift and just kind of like the difference between the two pregnancies. And that second postpartum experience, it was just like, I don't know. I think just like being a mom, that was like the other big thing. Going into the second pregnancy, I had been a mom for a year, not very long. But in that year, I had really, really struggled with what the heck am I going to do about work? I got a nanny for 5 months and I was like the most depressed I've ever been in my whole life. And I was like, this isn't going to work. So then I basically was like, and it's so funny because I talked to so many women. They're like, childcare is the hardest part of being a mom. And I'm like, really? And then I became a mom and I was like, childcare is the hardest part of being a mom. Just like being away from my kids is like painful for the most part. I love my work, but it's like, I don't want to be away from them for like hours and hours every day. And Eliana was just so little still, but I felt like I had to. I was like, I have to pay bills. I have this business that I built. I can't just like not work. And I loved the work that I did, but I was so torn. And I think that's very normal, but I definitely was not ready for that feeling. I didn't know that I was going to be like, nope, I want to just be a stay-at-home mom, but really like a stay-at-home working mom. I just didn't know. So that was like a really big thing I had to figure out in that first year. And I do think that was very stressful. It definitely was stressful. But by the time we had gotten pregnant with Amaya, I had already decided that like, we are just going to make it work. I told my husband, we cannot have a nanny. I cannot do this anymore. She's in the house, but I'm not with her. And it's like literally killing me. I'm like, we're just going to figure it out. And we did. And it has been quite the journey, and it's definitely still hard. There's a sacrifice no matter what you do. You go to work, there's a sacrifice, or you have like someone watch your kid all day. Even if they're home, it's a sacrifice. If you stay home with them, it's a sacrifice. So I just had to figure out what kind of sacrifice was going to work for myself and my family. And so like going into the second pregnancy, I had kind of already figured it out of like, well, nanny's not an option for us. Childcare is not an option because I just didn't want to be away from her. So I will figure it out another way. And I think just already having that going in and then practicing that the whole pregnancy, especially with like my husband gone so much and seeing like, I can do this. I can absolutely do this. It gave me a lot of confidence going into that second postpartum. And there, that stress wasn't there. I wasn't like, how am I going to get my work done? All this stuff. I'm like, yeah, you'll get it done. Like you will figure it out. So I think that made a really big difference. Now my birth was super easy. The second time too, it was crazy. It was like 3 hours, just tops, you know, crazy. Much, much easier. I did a lot of bow spring, which I'm going to do a whole separate episode on that because I can't even get into it right now. But understanding my posture and like what supports birth was incredibly helpful. And I wish I knew that the first time around, because if you lean into that and you understand it, things can go a lot quicker. So that was also made a big difference. And then postpartum, I kept up with the kettlebell training. I didn't try to do like the barbell, you know, just things that make kettlebells are just so easy. Like, you know, it's easier to clean up. You're not making such a big mess in your garage. You're not like having to stack plates, put them away. Like it is so much easier in my mind, like for me at least. And again, 3 days a week, full body. It just works for me. I can always fit it into my schedule. It only takes like 30 to 45 minutes tops. And so like it just works for my lifestyle. So I continued doing that postpartum. I did that for like, I don't even know, till now pretty much. I tried to do barbell stuff for like a few months and I was like, I don't like this. So I went back to the kettlebell stuff, but that was big. I was only nursing one baby, no pumping extra milk. I had already figured out this like routine with food. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be really cognizant of my fat intake and my blood sugar just so that I can have really, really good supply. And thank God I did that because I got food poisoning postpartum and that was led to Amaya getting reflux. And I have a baby reflux episode, two episodes, and it was terrible. And if you've had a reflux baby, you know. And I didn't sleep for a few months. It was absolutely awful. And I think like if I hadn't had all those things in my bag, the circadian rhythm support, the nutrition, already having all that stuff dialed in, again, like not worrying about like having this existential crisis of like, do I work or do I stay home with my kids? Like, that sort of thing, that also made a really big difference. I also knew like about baby body work because Eliana had oral restrictions. So like I had already kind of done a lot of this stuff and I think that makes a difference, but it was super stressful. And I ended up getting my cycle back after like 3 months postpartum because of the stress, because that stress will make you more insulin resistant. That'll raise estrogen. And then eventually your cycle returns. So I was dealing with insulin resistance like significantly from stress. And as soon as I got my cycle back, my luteal phase milk supply was awful. And I was like, this is terrible, but I know how to fix this. So I worked really hard on protein, fat, fiber, moderate carb, especially during my luteal phase. I did actually find that snacking helps me during my luteal phase. I will say I like kind of got rid of that, but it helped keep my blood sugar and my supply very consistent during that time. So really dialed in my nutrition, figured that out. Thank God. That helped a ton. And I just, my body, like I continued all my principles. I did not worry about my weight. I did not worry about my belly, which still will probably never be the same. And I just cared about how can I show up today for myself and for my family and do the work that I love to do. And I truly think, and now I've lost 55 pounds. I mean, I don't, and I know that can sound very annoying, but I just think sometimes we make weight loss so overcomplicated. And it's like, especially once you have kids, I had a 2-year-old and a new baby. Eliana wasn't even 2 when Amaya was born. It was so wild for the first at least 6 months. And then Amaya started getting real crazy. Eliana did not like that. And it was wild for another few months. And now they're pretty okay together, but still a lot of fighting, but less. So it's like, it's always going to be hard. And I think what really helped me, obviously, I supported my blood sugar, leptin, my thyroid, my minerals, my hair test postpartum looked even better. So again, you can heal, you can support your body during pregnancy and postpartum. Your health doesn't just dwindle away because your body's working really hard. It's just having the habits in place to manage the stress. And, you know, I think like having support is really important. My husband is literally the best husband ever. I mean, he is gone a lot. We're getting out of the military soon. By the time this comes out, he'll be getting out in like a couple weeks. So, but it doesn't change the fact that like he's missed most of our kids' lives, right? So it's in like that is really hard. But because I have these like foundational things in place, feed myself, take myself outside, feed water, get myself sunlight, and work out a few days a week and move my body consistently each day, like being active, playing with my kids, doing the work that I love and not trying to do too much every single day, that obviously that has made a huge difference. And that's, I feel like that's always kind of a struggle when you're a mom and you work, even if you don't work, I feel like all moms work, but you know, I have to run a business. So it is hard, but it's like, I've learned that like there's always another day to get the rest of it done. And the less pressure I put on myself, the less stressed I am and the happier I am throughout the day. I'm a better mom. I'm a better business owner, a better wife, better friends. Like I'm just like a better human. And so, but I can only have the capacity for that because I'm doing little things to take care of myself. And I think that this is like the thing that is not like people want to like, oh, like what workouts are you doing? And what are you eating? Like, did you change your diet? Are you in a calorie deficit? I'm like, I don't track my food. I can't do it, guys. I just can't do it. But I know what I'm eating and I experiment and then I see how my body responds. And I'm always like, yeah, how's my milk? Like, how's my milk supply? Amaya is obviously still nursing. So I pay attention to all those things. But mostly it's like, you're looking at everything. I'm not, yeah, I may have lost 55 pounds. That's cool. But I really don't care about the, it sounds cool, like in my head, but mostly I'm back to the weight that I was before I had Eliana. Don't look the same. So I'm kind of like, does it really matter? Because I definitely don't look like I did before. But I feel really good. I'm so happy. I love being a mom. Couldn't love it more. Even though it's incredibly hard and challenging, it brings up all of your own stuff and you have to constantly work on yourself in the best way. But it's just like, I just feel like, man, if you do it right, it's really, it's challenging mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and all the things. And you know, like, being a military spouse is very difficult. It's just like, especially when they deploy at the drop of a hat, it's really hard. But having the little things in place keeps me sane. It keeps me grounded. It keeps my nervous system, my minerals balanced. And I think it's truly what has allowed me to thrive. So it's like, if you are someone that's like, I don't know, like, what do I keep seeing the trend online, getting my pink back or something postpartum or after having kids? I don't know. I'm like, I don't want to be like I was before. I like, my life's so much better now being a mom. Do I miss like doing some more stuff for myself? Maybe, but honestly, I just do everything with my kids. I'm like, I don't know how everyone else does it, but I pretty much do. My kids just are just involved in everything. Minus work, like I'm recording this. My husband has them on a walk right now. But for the most part, they just do it with me or they do their own thing and I do my own thing. And that has really helped me. I went through a course, Jerrica Sands, Mother Wildflower course. That was very helpful for me. Not only, it's basically teaching your kids how to play independently. She markets it for like screen time free type families or minimizing your screen time. She has like a screen time challenge worked into the course. We don't really do screen time, but I did it because I wanted to understand how I could support. I did it when Amaya was just born. And I just wanted to understand how I could support Eliana in her independent play and like learning and growing now that like I'm not giving her all of my attention. And it has served me so well with Amaya. She plays really well independently. so that obviously, like, that's really how I get things done. I'm like, we have a routine. I do my thing. It doesn't always work out. So I'm like, this morning I had to stop 80,000 times during my workout. And it was so annoying. But ultimately, I'm like, I have to get this done. And they also are starting to see and understand now that they're getting older. I'm like, I'm going to be done soon. And then I will help you. Obviously, that's hard if you have babies. But I just think we can all get there in our own way. And it's going to look different for everyone. But what are the non-negotiables that you're going to have for yourself every day? And how are you going to kind of like hold yourself to that? I just think it's like, these are not like luxuries. Me getting to get a workout in, it's not a luxury. It's something that I am doing to take care of myself, support my mental health, and make me a better mom, and to keep myself healthy. So sometimes it, like in the conversations I'll have with women, it's like, well, you're lucky you get to do that. I'm like, I don't have like someone home watching my kids while I'm working out. I'm doing it with them, and they like, they make meals with me, or they play while I'm making meals. It's just like finding this balance. And I think that's just something that comes with time, with being a mom and experience and trying different things and experimenting. But if you are someone that is like, I don't recognize myself postpartum, I want to get my pink back, however you want to phrase it, I just think it's incredibly important to not just focus on your weight and to not just think my body is broken. It is not, especially not if it's holding on to weight. It's probably literally enforcing a protective mechanism that's trying to just keep you alive. Our bodies are always just trying to keep us alive. That's the main goal. So we have to teach them, give them that consistency that like, hey, I'm showing up for you. You are safe. You are fed. You're nourished. And you don't have to be in fight or flight all the time. And in like finding your kind of pattern and way of doing that. But I'm telling you, if you're like, I don't even know where to begin, I would start with your light exposure, which I know people think like, is that really going to help? It will, especially if you're someone that really, like, if you think of all the symptoms of like insulin, like blood sugar imbalances, like the hangry, feeling hungry all the time. A lot of the, they go right along with leptin, wanting something sweet, even though you just ate a meal, constantly feeling hungry, never really feeling satiated, seeing weight gain, especially when you haven't made up, like you're not eating more. Like we see this a lot in practice of like women that are just gaining weight. There's no explainable reason, at least like calorie and exercise wise, that is very common leptin. And so if you kind of line up with all of that and you're like, man, and you know, they say you breastfeeding, like, oh, you're going to lose all the weight breastfeeding. I think for a lot of women, that doesn't happen. It definitely didn't happen for me. I had to be like, second time around, I was just like very intentional on my blood sugar for my supply. And that just so happened to also help me with the weight loss as I went. Now, I will say, like it was like a pound a month. Like I, again, like probably 2 pounds a month, literally. So it was very slow. And again, that's why I'm like, I wasn't trying to lose weight. So I wasn't driving myself crazy, but that's the thing. It's like, we kind of get in this mindset of like, I'm going to lose weight postpartum, which is fine to do. It's okay to do that. It's okay to want to lose weight, but how you're going to do it. And then giving your body just the, like, give it the space to let it do its thing, especially if you're being consistent, showing up for yourself, you're getting consistent movement in, workouts in, you are feeding yourself appropriately, you're not under eating, not overeating. Obviously, you're going to be in a little calorie deficit if you're trying to lose weight. And then if you have times where you're not losing weight, not immediately jumping to a panic mode, okay? There's going to be a lot of recalibration happening, especially like once you get to places like maybe you haven't been that weight in a while. Like I would get stuck. Like I think I was at 175 for like, I don't even know how long. Like it was a long time. And I was like, well, this makes sense because my body hasn't been this weight in a really long, like years. So it would make sense that my body's like, it's going to take me a bit to get past this. Could I have like tracked my food and tried to manipulate that situation? I could have, but it's just, that's just like personally not who I am. And again, I'm like, I don't want this added stress. I got enough. Well, these two kids taking care of our house, business, you know, my husband literally is the best when he's home, but there's many times when he's not. And so I'm like, I can't add another thing to my plate. Otherwise, I know it's going to break. And so I choose to let those kinds of things go and just kind of get curious with like, what is my body trying to tell me right now? Maybe it just needs to hang out here for a little while. And again, like I wasn't really weighing myself a ton. So it didn't really freak me out. But I also know that a lot of women are like actively trying to lose weight postpartum, and they are weighing themselves regularly. And I don't think it's bad to have more information, with like your weight, but it's just like, what are you doing with it? Is it going to change what you're currently doing right now? Or are you just going to keep being consistent because you know you're seeing other positive changes? Like I had really good energy, even like the nights that I didn't sleep good. I was continuing to see progress with my strength, which was nice. That was like up and down though, I will say. Some days with, especially like, I don't know, just postpartum, you're just kind of like, some days you're like, I'm so strong. I am like feeling so strong. And then another day you're like, have I made any progress at all? Because it just feels a lot harder. And I think that's just like hormones, nursing, you know, having so many responsibilities. So it's, I think that's completely normal. So, but it's like, if you're seeing everything else going in the right direction, my hair test was good. My thyroid labs still amazing. I'm on the lowest dose of iodine I've ever taken. My hair test looks great. It's continued to get better, even though like, you know, this last year was stressful. Getting out of the military is so hard. Why? Moving, you know, all the things. So it's like you can be going through hard times and stressful situations and still support your body. And just because you're not seeing weight loss doesn't mean your body's not still moving you towards that. I think that's just kind of the thing that is helpful that I want to leave you with. And also that like your weight and your body, just it doesn't define your worth. And it's not bad to want to look a certain way. I don't think it is. I truly don't. Because it's just like most women, like, I just want to feel good in my body, you know? And like, that's how I describe it is. I'm like, I just want to feel good. You know, I want to be able to do the things I want to do, not get tired when I'm carrying both of my kids around and just to be able to do hard things. And so that's kind of like what I'm looking at. And if you are only focused on your weight, I would say that's something where you probably want to open that up. What other goals do you have? What are the other areas of your life that you want to focus on? Because sometimes we just get so focused on that. We're just like zoned in on that one thing and it doesn't make sense. And you obsess over it and it makes it all worse. So I think it's absolutely possible to care for your health and pursue weight loss. It's just being intentional and really trying to let the obsession go and being curious. If something's not working, experiment. But if you are constantly changing what you're doing, if you're not giving something at least a couple months to see if it's going to move the needle for you, I just think especially postpartum, that's like not realistic. If you're like doing one diet this month and another diet the next month, another workout program the next month and switching and constantly switching, there's no consistency. It's going to be really hard to see results. So I hope this is helpful. I'm going to go through in the Patreon episode more about meal ideas, what I've been eating, hydration, that sort of thing, just because I feel like we really need the visual. I'm going to have like a little PDF and stuff, like a visual breakdown and give like examples of like, how did I do that higher fat, more moderate carb, more fiber approach to help with my supply? Because I get a lot of questions about that. Once your cycle returns, it can be hard to keep up the supply in your luteal phase. So that's what I'm going to dig into in the bonus episode for Patreon. I think that that will be helpful for people. If you want to join, you can go to patreon.com/hormonehealingrd. And that's really it. Thank you for tuning into the Hormone Healing RD podcast. If you found this episode helpful, the best way to support the show is by leaving a review. It helps more women discover this message and feel empowered on their healing journey. If you want to go deeper and stay in the loop with everything that I'm sharing, make sure that you're subscribed to my Feminine Periodical. It's my free weekly newsletter that drops every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. You will get exclusive tips, tools, behind-the-scenes insights to support your hormones, minerals, and overall health. I love it. I have a lot of fun with the newsletter. I've had it since 2019. Highly recommend. You can find the link in the show notes. And that's it. I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to connect with you again next week.